listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Open Mic Friday, the last day of March, the 31st in the year of our Lord 2017. And Open Mic Friday means that you can take over the microphone by calling us in St. Louis. The number is 821-0850. Anywhere in North America is 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. We spoke with Mark Smith and Wes Reimnitz on subjects, had an Insight Wednesday, but if you're at all interested, don't hesitate to give me a ring, and we will talk about the subject that you might be interested in. In between calls, we will be talking about, well, the theme of the program, Law and Gospel. And Law and Gospel, of course, is something that is well known. But let's go to our phone lines first and talk to Herman. Hi, Herman. You're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor. Might point out, while this is the initial 500th anniversary of the start of the Reformation, there are going to be many more 500th anniversaries ahead, such as Luther's debate with John Eck, the Diet of Worms, the first publication of his translation of the New Testament to German, his marriage, other things down the way. So there's going to be a whole bunch of 500 anniversaries coming up to keep busy with.
There's also one that people tend to forget, and I don't know why. It's a 2000 anniversary.
2000 anniversary?
Yes.
Okay, what would that be?
Have you ever heard of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead?
Correct. That's
kind of important.
We're going this every Sunday as well as highlighted on Easter.
Well, the fact of the matter is we're coming up to the 2000th anniversary of that, and nobody's hardly talking about it. It's only about, what, 12 years away?
That's a good point. That's as well. I know there's quite historically there was quite a few aroused ideas about what would happen when they reached the 1,000th year.
Oh, I know. But do you know, back in 1996, do you remember anybody celebrating the 2000th anniversary of his birth?
No.
There
might be some. Some might just wonder which year would you take to establish that. There has been some discussion if that was A.D. 5 or 4 or 3 or somewhere in there.
Right, but Concordia Publishing House has put out a pretty good book, and I think they go for 4 B.C. But I couldn't believe that nobody was talking about his 2000th anniversary of his birth. And so that's one we're going to be looking forward to. But I appreciate the other 500th anniversaries. Gives us a lot of time to talk about the essence of the Lutheran Church. And I appreciate your call, Herman.
Well, thank you. And look forward to the 2000th anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus.
That's for sure. Okay, bye. And we'll move on down the line and talk to Keith. Hi, Keith. You're on the air.
Hi. Maybe explain... when I read the Old Testament, I see God's name, and then Lord God, and then I see Lord, and I'm just wondering, or what is that, the Trinity, or is Jesus in there?
Yes, if you go to the first chapter of Genesis, you find the Trinity in the first three verses. God the Father created the heavens and the earth. The Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. And in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And according to John chapter 1, Jesus created everything. Nothing was created that was not created by him. And he's the Word of God. But when you're talking about the distinction between God and Lord, the word Lord is that special name that Moses received from God on Mount Sinai in Exodus 3, we often think it's in the Hebrew Yahweh. We're not quite sure because we're not sure what the vowels are, but Yahweh, and then the word for God, you're going to find this interesting, Keith.
Okay.
Is Elohim. The singular word for God is El, like El Shaddai, God Almighty. But Elohim is the plural word for God. And when it talks about and God said or something, it uses the plural name for God, but it's followed by the singular verb. So that's a perfect example showing that the Holy Trinity is indeed only one God, even though it's multiple persons, three persons, one God. And that's where the word Elohim in the plural, followed by a singular verb, helps us to understand that even in the Old Testament, the Trinity was taught.
Okay, so when I read Lord God, that means the Trinity?
Absolutely, because the Lord God, that would be two different Hebrew words.
Okay.
And it's Elohim and Yahweh.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yes. it's helpful. I run across capital L-O-R-D and then Lord God and...
Yes, when the word Lord is all in capitals in most Bibles,
yes,
that's referring to that name I told you, Yahweh.
Okay.
When it's small, L-O-R-D,
yes,
it's another word called Adonai, and that just simply refers to like the head of a farm, you know, the lord of the farm and this sort of thing. But there's just no doubt when you take a look, and it talks about, and the Lord God said.
Yes.
Well, there's no doubt that's both names being used, and it is referring to the Trinity. Genesis 2, verse 15, for example, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. And yes, the word Lord there is all in capital letters.
Okay.
And that's the name that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai.
Okay.
Okie doke?
Yes, I thank you, sir.
Well, thank you so very much for calling, and good to have you call. And anybody else can call at 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to go talk now with Neil. Neil, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Pastor Tom Baker.
How you doing, Neil? How can I help you?
Doing real well. You know, it sure is a blessing that this service is possible through KFUO and you being part of the good news. I have an acquaintance that's an atheist, and anyway, I was calling because I was wondering, what's the best way to research to show the proof that Jesus was on Earth, other than, you know, it's unknown to me, but other than the Bible. I mean, he's talking about...
He doesn't believe that Jesus actually existed and was on Earth?
Well, that's one of the questions that was thrown out, that was, you know, yeah. And I was telling him that there's a lot of proof, archaeological and things of the cities and... all the things that are mentioned in the Holy Bible. But I was wanting to get your knowledge on the subject so I can further talk to him.
Yes. First of all, one can simply go to Google. You know what Google is?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And just type in evidence for Jesus on Earth. And what will come up is not only Bible passages, but on some of the better ones, there were letters written by Roman officials who mentioned about Jesus and his disciples. And there's one even that talks about that he had risen from the dead, they said, but the Jews had said no, they had stolen the body. One cannot really just look at history outside of the Bible without coming to the conclusion that there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth who died, and many people said he rose from the dead. But to convince an atheist to trust in Jesus, I don't think is going to happen simply by you showing him evidence from outside the Bible. There's one thing that convinces unbelievers, and that's a preaching of the gospel. And that's what this program is all about here, all right. Neil. The law shows that we all fall short of the glory of God. When I would ask, here's how I would deal with your friend, I'd say, do you think you're righteous enough to get to heaven if there is a heaven? Now, if he answers no, then he needs to understand the commandments better, because nobody ever obeys the commandments perfectly. But if he answers yes, that, you know, he thinks he is righteous enough, well, then after going through the commandments and getting him to the point where he is now afraid of God, if God exists, that's why a lot of people are atheists, because they're afraid if God exists. But that's the point of the law, because once they're afraid of something, it's like going to a doctor, Neil, and he tells you you have a disease. Well, you're afraid. But then he says, well, here's the treatment. And if you take this treatment, it's 100% you're going to be cured. Now, that's good news. And the treatment, to tell the atheist, is Jesus died on the cross for his sins, forgave him his sins, heaven can be his home, and then let the Holy Spirit use the gospel to convince him to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's exactly what I've been thinking, is this the best possible pointing to Jesus and having the Holy Spirit do the rest.
Boy, you hit the nail on the head. You know, a successful pastor isn't somebody who does a lot of conversions. A successful pastor and a successful layperson is someone who uses the Word of God properly and lets the Holy Spirit take over from there.
That's just unbelievable, incredible. And thank you so much.
Well, God bless you. Today. Thank you for calling, Willie. We love to hear, Neil. Yeah. We'd love to hear you again, because we're on our way right now to talk to Willie. Hi, Willie. You're on the air.
Okay. Hi, Tom Baker.
Hi.
I have a question about baptism.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Like myself, I consider myself as being a non-denominational. Okay. So what if I decide to become a Lutheran? I was baptized when I was younger. So would I have to be baptized again to become a Lutheran?
What church were you baptized at?
It was a
non-denominational?
No, it was Pentecostal.
Oh, Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. See, I'd have to do a little bit more research as to whether or not Pentecostals have valid baptisms. I'm of the impression that they believe that you become a Christian by inviting Christ into your heart. And so I would have you baptized, but you don't need to be baptized, Willie, in order to be going to heaven. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Then you're going to heaven. And why would you be baptized then? Because right now, you have to depend on your faith. And is your faith always perfect?
No,
mine isn't either. But in baptism, God connects a promise. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And notice that. When at Pentecost, the people who realized they had killed the Messiah asked Peter, what should they do? Peter says, be baptized and you will receive two gifts, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we believe, teach, and confess that baptism is really important, although people who are not baptized, like everybody in the Old Testament, never had a Pentecost baptism, are still saved like Abraham was. Remember, Abraham believed, and God counted it to him as righteousness. So you're already saved, but if you want something to depend upon and give you better assurance than your own faith, then baptism is that holy sacrament. And we would not be considering that if you join the Lutheran Church that you're being converted to Christianity. Because from what I'm hearing from you, you're already a Christian. You're going to be in heaven the same way I am, by grace, through faith, on account of Jesus.
Okay, so the baptism is not a necessary, but it's part of becoming, not becoming, but...
Yes, let me give you an example from a human. If a child is adopted, but she doesn't know she's adopted until she gets to 12 years old and the parents say, we adopted you, what is the evidence that you can give her to show that she was really adopted?
I guess you said a paperwork.
Very good. The adoption certificate signed by a judge. She had nothing. She didn't cooperate in her adoption. She didn't contribute to it because it was a decision on the part of others. That's where the baptismal certificate becomes so important. And I learned something from Dr. Wallace Schultz, who puts out the Good News magazine, that he took his baptismal form and he framed it and put it up on the wall to remind him that, yes, he has a birthday, but baptism is his assurance that he has a rebirth day, like Nicodemus was talking to Jesus, and Jesus says, well, you'll be born again by means of water and the Spirit. And that's a baptism, Willie. So I would encourage you to talk to a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastor who can go into more detail on this subject with you.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling.
All right, thank you.
God bless.
Okay.
And we're just going to go down the line, and we're going to talk to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You never phone, do you?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. How can I help you today?
Not this week. It was last week that you were talking with the pastor in reference to when you die and your body goes into the grave. What if, in fact, you're cremated?
Or if you were on a ship and it sunk and underwater the various fish ate you and you didn't exist anymore. Well, guess what? When Lazarus was raised from the dead, and that's the gospel for this coming Sunday, Jesus, when he heard that he was ill, did not rush to him right away. He waited. And when he got there, remember, he said, open up the tomb. And was it Mary or Martha said, no, Lord, he stinketh, which meant his body had started decaying. Well, guess what? When he opened the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus came forth and he wasn't smelling at all, because in that resurrection, all the decay had been taken away and he was again restored to his full body. God doesn't care if your body is destroyed by fire, by fish, by a volcano, because he will bring it back into existence on the day of judgment and join it with your spirit in heaven. So you have nothing to worry about, Marilyn.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I wanted to comment on what you said. I think it was yesterday.
Sure.
Been the day before when you said, where Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And you said if he had not named him, that everybody in that cemetery would come forth.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of like the previous week we were talking about, this is another chapter. John uses the whole chapter to talk about one event, Lazarus, and then two chapters before that in chapter 9, the man born blind. Jesus spits on the ground, takes some of the mud, and applies it to the eyes of the blind man. And guess what? He goes and he sees. Now, if somebody else had picked up some of that mud and put it on maybe an arthritic leg or something, would they have been healed? The answer is no, because Jesus didn't give that person the promise that he gave to the blind man. And that's why baptism is so important, because we're going to be baptizing four infants at Trinity Orchard Farm in the next few weeks. And guess what? We're going to name them. I baptize then the name of the child into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we know that promise is going to be kept.
Well, since you brought that up, you said you're going to name the child. Hasn't that child already been named? Oh,
yes, but we name it because now it has a new name. It is Christian and right. A member of the family of Christ.
Right. Well, thank you, Pastor, and God bless you.
And thank you very much for calling. And we're just going to go down the line again and talk now to Jan. Hi, Jan. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you, Pastor. I have a habit of wearing a cross. And I had a conversation with a associate recently, and basically they took me to task because their interpretation of Exodus 20, where God says to not make any graven image, to worship it. And I tried to explain that it's not a question of worshiping the cross. It's a question, or from my perspective, it's having the cross always before me and as a reminder of my baptism and my faith.
Yeah, let me give you a little hint here. Anytime I hear false doctrine, one of my first goals is to try and trip the person up where they themselves don't even believe what they're saying. And what I would do, I would look at the person and perhaps, depending on their situation, let's say they're married, what do they have on their ring, on their finger?
A ring?
Yes. Yeah. And I said, oh, this is terrible that you have a ring. Exodus 20 says you shouldn't be worshiping that ring. You should just be trusting your husband or your spouse. And they're going to come back and they're going to say, I don't worship the ring. It's just a reminder. Oh, is that right? Then if you're saying that about this ring, why can't I say that about this cross?
Okay.
And so this is a technique I love to use again and again in arguments, where when somebody says false doctrine, I always try and find an area where they themselves don't believe what they just said, but you use a different kind of an example. And so nobody worships the ring, although there's no doubt that when sometimes a ring falls into the sink, oh boy, you call a plumber right away because you got to get that ring back. Maybe it was your mother's ring or whatever. So, but it's still something different in using it as a reminder that you're married in comparison to worshiping it, because it's such a precious piece of metal.
Right.
Now, I'll give you an example where somebody did wear a cross inappropriately. It was a member I once had, and she would never take a plane trip unless she had her cross with her. And I said, no, that is idolatry.
Yeah, that's like wearing it more as a talisman or something.
Well said, boy. Yeah. You should apply to be a host on KFUO.
I'll work for cheap.
Hey, that's part of the thing of being here. Thank you so much. God bless. All righty. No more time to pick up anybody. We certainly appreciate Herman and Keith and Neil and Willie and Marilyn and Jan and calling us. And you can also call me, or at least email me, at longgospel@longgospel101.com. Today is the last day of March. It is when I started 20 years ago at KFUO in March. And we do have a little bit more to pay KFUO for being on the air. So listen to what's going to follow next, where you can send a check. But if you would like it IRS deductible, make it out to Concordia Mission Society. And we'll be back on Monday to talk about Lazarus.
Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.